Broadcasting live from the beautiful Sheraton Imperial Hotel in Durham, North Carolina, it's the North Carolina Technology Association's State of Technology Conference. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Hey there, it's Ann Revell-Petcher back again with Mike Lauer.
Ann, it's a rocking day here. It's going great over the State of Technology over here in CETA.
It is. We're having lots of really interesting guests here,
learning
too.
Some great stuff.
The least of which is our next guest.
Yes, absolutely.
Chuck Misciano. Is that a fair?
Misciano.
Misciano. Like the cherry.
Yeah.
Almost.
Sort of, kind of.
We have Chuck Misciano here from M-Mobile. Mm-hmm. Welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Oh, we're
very
really
excited to be here, actually. So it's a great event today.
Yeah, great. Yeah, the whole event is fabulous. We're really thankful to Encita for doing this and for having us here. Tell us a little bit about what M-Modal is.
M-Modal is a medical transcription and natural language understanding company.
Wow.
Which sounds pretty
fancy.
Say
that five times fast.
That's right. What it means is that we listen to doctors when they speak. We understand what they say, both in a traditional sense where doctors would record their patient notes and mm-hmm. understand what they were saying about their patients. We can take that speech, convert it to text, and put it back into their medical record system.
That's sort of useful.
It's massively useful to the doctor. But more importantly, we also have the ability to understand what they say in real time, and that's where it goes to the natural language understanding part. So we have technology that allows a doctor to speak, and we can react and act upon either he's asking a question or looking at a particular set of symptoms. We have tools that allow him to improve the user interface to their existing medical technology that they have in a particular hospital. So we essentially enhance the experience of the doctor, and especially enhance the doctor-patient relationship to the benefit of the overall healthcare outcome.
You know, I was just listening to NPR a couple weeks ago, and they did a story on a new trend in doctors hiring people literally to sit next to them and input data as they're doing their meetings with their patients mm-hmm. because it's become so critical to get the right information in there.
Yes.
So this might actually take that step out?
It does. It can replace that human. What we're seeing increasingly is doctors shift to electronic medical record system, and you may have had this experience. You sit down with your doctor, and he's looking at you over the top of a laptop.
Yeah, and he hates it, man.
Exactly. It's literally a wall between the doctor and the patient. And so what we're trying to do is give him the tools that allow him to speak while he's speaking with you, and we're performing that capture on his behalf while not interfering with his experience with the patient.
Wow.
And still maintaining a good bedside persona, right?
Yeah, well, it allows the doctor to think about the patient and stop thinking about the technology. And it also allows the doctor
to
capture the subtleties of the interaction that don't get captured when you're just pointing and clicking menus.
Yeah.
It's amazing technology what it does, and it's amazing in terms of our ability to understand medical nomenclature and the various what you would consider to be, quote, hard words are actually easy for us and how we understand that. So the technology we use has been developed over decades of research by the specialists that we have within the company. It's an amazing set of tools.
That's cool. So this brings us literally right to why you're here, the things you're here to talk about, which is commercialization of IT and of mobile technologies.
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly within our company, we have a strong focus on mobile tools and moving those speech capture tools and some of the advisory tools out into the mobile place. Increasingly, doctors want to use their phone in hand or a tablet as they go on rounds.
Sure.
And so we're developing the technology that allows our tools to be a part of that experience for the doctor. What I was able to talk about earlier today here at the State of Technology Conference was the general, what's called the consumerization of IT. And so just as doctors are accustomed to using their iPhones at home or their Android tablets mm-hmm. and they bring them to work with the full expectation that they can live their lives as they would at work as they do at home, we were able to focus on the concept of what does it mean for companies when employees start showing up to work with their own computers, their own tablets, their own phones.
Yeah, how does the rubber meet the road?
That's exactly right. And so CIOs are challenged to understand how can I accommodate this need, this mm-hmm. demand of my users, while still respecting the integrity and the security of the technology platforms that are needed to make a business run. And it was actually a really good conversation because it helps people understand that this is a collaborative conversation between the technology providers at a company and then the technology users. And so if you look back, and I'm old enough to remember, there was a time when you didn't have internet at home. That's hard for some people to understand, but trust me, there was a time in the dark, dark ages where you didn't have that. And there was a period of time when your technology experience at work was better than at home, and you came
absolutely.
To work to go on the internet.
Yeah,
you came
absolutely.
To work to do your shopping. And then that turned upside down, and now it's probably safe to say that a lot of people have a computing experience at home that's actually better than their computing experience
at
work. I agree
with that, yeah.
So they go home and they see things that work, and they bought these apps and they install them on their desktops at home or their tablets, and then they come to work and they say, well, this is really easy at home. Why are you making this so hard? And they don't want to hear excuses about, well, there's security and there's networks. But the reality is that there are. And so we're trying to find ways to help them bring those tools to work, take advantage of the resources that they bring while still ensuring the integrity of the workplace environment. You know, for example, my company, we deal with medical data, some of the most secure, most private, most sensitive data you can imagine. And we take that very seriously. Our compliance with HIPAA and protection of PHI is paramount in our organization.
Yeah, you'd be out of business if it wasn't.
That's exactly right. And so, you know, as the CIO at my company, that is on my mind every single day, every single minute. And yet we're still able to shape solutions that allow users to use their tools in our environment and never compromise or even come close to thinking about compromising that trust that we have between our customers and our company.
So what are some common misconceptions with this bring your own device to work mentality?
Well, the first misconception is that it will save a company money. So someone might say, well, this is great because we no longer have to buy computers for people at work. They can just bring their own computer. Well, the reality is that you probably will still have to provide the infrastructure to allow those computers to connect, and you also still have to provide the support functions to make those computers work. Mm-hmm. Not every employee is technically savvy.
Right.
So it's one thing to say to an employee, if you'd like, you can bring your device to work. Wonderful. It's another thing to say, everyone must bring their own device to work.
Exactly.
And then you've got employees that say, I don't know how to do this.
I don't have a device.
I don't know how to pick a device. I don't know how to configure a device. Help me out.
Can I just send you a telegraph?
Yeah, I wish. So instead, you wind up provisioning infrastructure and tools in a different manner. Now, my company, we do both. We actually provision the equipment at the laptop level, but we allow people to use their own tablets and phones, and we have ways for them to connect to our networks and our tool sets that are safe and secure and give them both the flexibility of their personal device and the structure and
security,
and security of the corporate device.
So am I going to see my doctor talking into a microphone now as opposed
to... Doctors have always been talking into microphones.
So, what?
Yeah. Either through the traditional dictaphone
ago. Sure.
Doctors spoke into a dictaphone. Now they'll talk into what's known as a speech mic, which is a very fancy microphone that hooks up to their PC. And increasingly, they'll just talk directly into their iPhone.
Wow.
Yeah. So
wow.
Technology marches on, and we're very responsive to it, and we try to understand and meet the needs of both our customers and our internal employees.
So the biggest benefits that we're seeing because of this are what? Streamlining operations or?
Well, the first benefit is that users are more comfortable with tools that they're familiar with.
Okay.
So they come to work with tools that they naturally understand how to use. They've made them their own, so to speak. And so it's easier for them to get things done. There also is some level of interaction where if you provide the right kind of services, and we can talk about that in a second, if you provide the right kind of services, it's actually easier for them to access certain employee-related functions through those devices so that, again, you extend that user experience. The goal of any CIO is to ensure that the user experience of the internal end users is as smooth and as fluid as possible.
Right.
And the reality is that there are certain tools that work extremely well on consumer devices that are used every day at work. So, for example, everyone accesses their email on their phone.
Yes.
Sure.
Everyone. And so our company, the way we provision our email infrastructure, we allow cell phones, smartphones, to connect to that infrastructure in a secured fashion, allow people to see their email in a way that's familiar to them. So there's probably many, many different email clients in use at my company across all those devices.
Right, and they're going to have that phone with them all the time. So, I mean, even if they do use the work computer the majority of time when they're at work for email, when they're at home or they're, you know, on a plane or at the airport, they may use the mobile phones.
Well, the reality is that you will sit at your desk answering emails, and as you walk away from the desk, you'll pick up your phone and continue to answer emails.
Absolutely.
So there's an interleaving effect that these tools blend. And again, with appropriate infrastructure and configuration, you can make that very easy for the end users. Mm-hmm. Now, the flip side is that there's other tools that you don't typically find on home computers, right? You don't typically find extremely high-end development environments for software developers. You don't find sophisticated financial analytics tools for the financial accountants within the company. And in that case, we provision tools, platforms, laptops, whatever, with those tools on it. And so it's not uncommon to have an employee who has the company-provided laptop with his super-duper version of Excel and all the related analysis tools sitting there with his tablet and his phone that come from home to get their job done. And that, you know, that's not unique to my company. You'll find that everywhere. People are finding the tools that help them get their job done. The analogy would be, if you are building a house, a carpenter is going to bring the hammer he likes best.
Sure.
He's not going to expect you to buy right. and hand him a hammer. Computers, for lack of anything else, are just extremely sophisticated hammers.
That's all technology is anything that makes our jobs easier.
That's right. It's simply a tool. Where you run into difficulties is when the tools don't align or you have a difficult time integrating the services and you have to help users through that. So you will carry an additional burden of support where those issues arise, but in return you've got users who are more comfortable and familiar with the tool set at their disposal.
So how does this work in a doctor's office? So most of your work is done dealing with doctors.
Well, our tools are used by doctors in a hospital setting. I don't provision technology directly to the doctor. Right? So
okay.
The doctor gets his tools from the hospital which employs him.
Okay.
Or he brings his iPhone in.
Or he brings his iPhone in. So, for example, he on his own iPhone could download our mobile app.
I see. Okay.
And that's an interesting juxtaposition because the doctor could take his iPhone, download our app, but he cannot access the medical data in his hospital without authentication from his hospital administrators.
Okay.
Yeah, again, that's where I was going to come with this. I mean, there are some serious concerns with bringing your own device, right? I mean, there's mm-hmm. security, there's staying on task, and then there's the big brother thing of making sure where everyone's doing what they're doing. And you can't necessarily opt out of that. But then again, the company can't really control what the employee is doing on their tablet.
Well, there's a couple aspects of that. So first, from the data perspective, there's a concept when that's known as data in flight and data at rest.
Hmm.
Data in flight is data that's being moved back and forth between devices. Data at rest is data that's stored. Typically, you seek to have no sensitive data at rest in a mobile device. So if the device is lost or compromised, there's no data being compromised.
Ah.
So your email client may, in fact, simply pull emails down from some server, allow you to view them, and then when you're done, it removes
right.
them from the phone. So the email actually sits on the server. The client is typically a viewing device. Right?
Okay, that makes sense.
And so if you structure your internal tools such that you don't have data at rest on mobile devices, then you've gone a long way to securing it. Now, in our case, I'm internal to the company. There are some mobile devices that, because of the work we do, will have sensitive data on them.
Mm-hmm.
In those cases, we then go another layer. We will encrypt the hard drives. We will put additional authentication tools onto the device. So if that device were to be lost, anyone who picked it up, it would literally be useless to them because the encryption keys and the security layers are managed by us. And as soon as we're aware that a device has been lost or compromised,
lock
it down. That's yeah. right. And that's true of the phones as well. So within the company, if someone loses their phone, we can go to a website and literally with the click of a mouse wipe the phone and completely eliminate any chance of data loss or compromisation.
That's great. So your business development folks at M-Modal, who do they talk to? Who do you guys actually sell to?
We sell to hospitals and provider networks. So they will go out and talk to individual hospitals or hospitals that work in large networks of providers. They work with the health information management people within the hospital, and they deal with hospital CIOs. So the layer of technology that we interact with at a hospital is sort of the brains of the hospital. It's the electronic medical record systems.
Okay.
And we layer atop those medical record systems, and we integrate directly with them. So we work to build solutions with our customers that allow them to improve the quality of the tools that they deploy and the experience that their doctors have within the tools as they use them.
How does the information, the medical record information that resides at the insurance company impact this? Is there any overlap at all?
No, that's a separate data set.
That's
typically bound. That layer will connect to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
We deal with a very specific channel of information that is what the doctor is saying and transcribing in the course of his patient relationship
okay.
that comes back to us. We process it, produce appropriate content, and then we actually deliver that data back to the hospital, and they then insert it into their medical records. So the medical records actually reside at the hospital. They don't reside with us. The voice and the audio transcription of the voice resides with us and then is transferred back to the hospital.
I see, after it's sort of dataized.
Yeah, it's transcribed. So we'll take the voice and we put it through our proprietary speech recognition algorithms that get it very, very close to perfect.
Right.
But in the medical world, only perfect is acceptable.
Counts, right.
So then we then take that draft text along with the audio and we present it to a trained medical transcriptionist who typically has some significant amount of medical training and transcription capability. And they'll listen to the audio while they read the text. And then as they hear errors or or they might, a doctor may make a verbal correction in midstream. They'll apply the corrections and edit it so that the resulting product is very, very close to 100% accurately reflecting what the doctor said.
That's amazing.
And then that content is then sent back to, digitally sent back to the hospital for them to place into whatever medical record system.
File
they
it
use.
And make sure that's HIPAA
that's right.
compliant and all that. Yeah.
That's right.
So individual doctors, like in family practice offices and things like that, they aren't necessarily utilizing this technology.
They can. There's different tool sets, so it's a matter of scale, right? So it's
yeah,
so you can imagine
sense.
That the think of it analogously to the financial systems used by large corporations are different than the financial systems used by small mom
Absolutely,
and pop shops.
Yeah.
In a similar fashion, the data management, medical records, and transcription systems used by hospitals are different from single doc
gotcha.
Practices. But we do have tool suites that address what's known as the ambulatory market, that low end part of the market as well. So that doctors, even at that spectrum of the treatment realm, have tools at their disposal that they can take advantage of if they'd like.
So where can folks go to learn more about you guys?
You can go to our website at mmodal.com. That's mmodal.com. And we'd be happy to show you all sorts of case studies and the successes that people have had with our technology and the outstanding job that we do in doing a better job in helping them ultimately deliver better health care to their patients. And that's what we're really in the business of. You know, as a technologist, I like to talk about voice and transcription and infrastructure and things like that. What we really sell is better health care outcomes. And so when doctors can use our technology to streamline their operation and deal better with their patients, and patients ultimately are healthier, then we've done our job, and that makes us very, very happy.
An excellent mission statement.
Yeah.
Yeah, very interesting stuff. Well, I'm glad you could join us today. Thanks
for
being
here. It's my pleasure.
Here.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for being here at the conference as well. We're very proud of this conference here in the state of North Carolina, and having you folks here just makes it that much better, so thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. Okay, and we're going to take about a 5-minute break until our next interview. See you then.